And welcome to another edition of the E-Factor, brought to you by the Clinton County Chamber of Commerce and Clinton County Economic Development. I'm Shan Sheridan, the Director of the Chamber and Economic Development here for Clinton County. So glad to be with you yet on another E-Factor. And today's E-Factor, we're very excited. Of course, let me remind you what the E-Factor is all about. The E-tributes of a community, that's right, those E's that really empower, no pun intended, the community, enhancement, engagement, entertainment, employment, education, all those things that we look forward and look to in a community to be to set us apart. And one of those folks with me today has done probably a majority of the E's I just mentioned. He's certainly empowered the community. He's been part of engaging conversation in our community. He's an employer. He employs people. But most of all, I think Michael Griffey and his brothers, David and Stephen, have certainly been entrepreneurs in a very special way. And I'm talking to today Michael Griffey from Ritchie Manufacturing, and we're going to find out about what Ritchie Manufacturing is all about in just a moment as I introduce Michael Griffey. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Nice to be with you, Shan.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about what Ritchie is all about, first of all, because give us a little bit of history behind and where the name came from and, of course, the business. What do you do?
Okay, well, we've been in business since 1962. My grandfather started the company.
The year I was born.
Grandpa started the company back in 62. He was a state track champion in the pole vault back when they landed in sawdust, and he thought there was a better way. So he decided he was going to make pole vault mats, high jump mats, and he started in a small apartment in Michigan town, and now we're up to a 30,000 square foot facility in Frankfort.
Well, and Michigan town is just a community just east of Frankfort, a few miles, and over by Clinton Central High School, where you went to school, played football there, graduate, and wrestled, I think, as well. So you're a graduate of Clinton Central High School, a Bulldog. And when you think about Ritchie Manufacturing and just the whole idea, you talk about entrepreneurialism. I mean, your grandfather truly had a vision based upon a necessity in his mind, because he's pole vaulting. I can't imagine landing in sawdust and landing in the kind of environment that he was landing in. And he comes up with an idea of maybe we can make the landing a little bit easier, a little bit softer, and a little bit more safe for athletes.
And we think that that idea pushed the sport in general, where people were more willing to sell out on an attempt to clear a bar because they weren't worried about landing on something hard. So he was really a major innovator in the sport, because nobody had thought to spend that kind, make that kind of investment, and it really ended up adding several feet, we think, to world records even.
Oh, absolutely. I would absolutely agree with that. So when we think about the invention of the pole vault mat, or what is it called? A technical term.
We call it pit.
The pit. The pit. Yeah. That's right. The pit. So in that pit, when we think about that, did he get a patent on that then? What was the whole genesis of all this? Not only the genesis, but as this thing developed.
You know, I wish he would have gotten a patent on that. We'd probably be in a much better position now. It's one of those things, and track and field communities and track in general is an interesting sport because it's more about working together. And, you know, you go to a lot of meets and it's guys from different teams even cheering on other guys from other teams. And it's kind of the same way a lot of those guys came out of that environment and went and started athletic equipment companies or worked for athletic equipment companies. So there's a lot of borrowing of ideas that go on. There was a time when he was going to manufacture these mats for people where we would have been probably the biggest manufacturer in the world had he done it. He decided against it. But it wasn't one of those things where he thought it was patentable, and he just never pursued it.
Wow. So he kept it kind of small, and basically handled high schools around the area and basically took care. But he also was a great welder. I mean, he did a lot of welding. He had a great shop there in Michigan Town. A lot of people, I remember him building football sleds and everything else. I mean, he was that guy that could just about do it all.
If you needed something, Max probably had a way to take care of him. And he was a master electrician. Yeah. He could just all kinds of metallurgy things. There were things that Max could do and come up with off the top of his head that I still sit and think and scratch my head and be like, wow, I could use that resource today.
Well, you know, we talk about his humble beginning and why he did this, because he wanted to improve the sport that he loved and enjoyed and excelled in. And then his grandsons come along, and you guys take a look at this and think, well, maybe we should try to be a little bit larger thinking, bigger thinkers and dreamers. And what happened when you guys got involved? Because you had opportunities to go other places. You had opportunities to leave the community, and you were dreaming while you were in high school of other things, and all of a sudden your brothers and yourself come up with this idea.
Well, I came of age in a time when the internet didn't exist, to the point where Facebook was just invented while I was in college. So there was this huge movement in how you could talk to people.
Yeah.
And now I can talk to people all over the country basically for free.
Yeah.
Max never enjoyed that kind of thing. We thought we could take what Max was doing and, you know, just the simple basic ideals of Midwestern: do things right, always be honest, build something better than it needs to be built. And we thought we could tell everybody in the country about that. And I knew that, you know, when I came in, I was the only employee. I knew that if all I did was put up a website, do some mass emailing, some of the few things that I had seen while I was growing up, start to move businesses, I thought we could make this a national presence. And that's exactly what we've done.
Absolutely. And so when we talk about the national presence, let's go. Actually, you're international. I mean, you've had contracts with China. So let's talk a little bit about where things are today from those beginnings there, where you came in as the only employee and started to look at what the opportunities were.
Yeah. So we back when I first came in, it was pretty much Indiana and maybe a state that touches us here or there. Now we've got a mat in every state. We do business regularly in Canada every year. We've got a lot of quotations out in Mexico. We've done some stuff overseas, as you mentioned. So it's just one of those things where we're trying to introduce ourselves. We're trying to get out there, and we've been able to do so. We do a lot of trade shows, but the internet and then just the logistics of being in the middle of the country where freight is pretty much equal all the way around, it's really been profitable for us to be right here.
Well, you know, Frankfort, and we say this often in the economic development world as far as marketing Clinton County, is that right here in Clinton County, in Indiana most general, but central Indiana in particularly, you can reach 80% of the populace of the U.S. in less than a day's drive. I mean, that's pretty impactful when you think about that, especially logistics. The cost of moving one item to another place, it can get really costly, and that's a big benefit for us here in the north central Indiana region especially.
Right. Well, the stuff we build is pretty big.
Right? Yeah, so that's right.
One order takes half a semi. Yeah. And when I'm competing against people that manufacture on the East Coast trying to get out to California, it's been a huge advantage for us, just freight alone.
Right. So, well, let's talk about the products. So you've got the pole vault pit, which basically consists of all of the matting that goes around the area that a jumper, a pole vaulter, I should say, I better say vaulter, I don't want to use the word jumper, maybe that's not the wrong, but a vaulter would use. What are the other things that are involved in track and field that you guys have mastered and are working through?
Okay, well, we do they're the standards that hold up the crossbar, so there's that's where our metal work comes in. We also do high jump mats. We also do some smaller things, some smaller support products. So there's weather covers involved in each of those, so you can leave your mat out all year long. And then what we've done is established some relationships with people that build other things that we don't build yet or don't want to build because we just don't have the facility for it. So We are vendors. Well, we can order hurdles. We can order implements, shot puts, discuses, those kinds of things. And we've tried our hands at some of the bigger installations as far as hammer cages, discus cages, where we're talking 30-foot-long pieces of aluminum that we're bending and putting nets up. And we've done three or four of those installations across the country. So, unfortunately, there's a lot of things on the track, and we've kind of had to pick and choose. Do we want to do track spikes when they're a penny a piece? Maybe not. So we've established relationships so we can outfit your entire track. But the stuff that we feel quality is really an issue, where safety is an issue, we want to be at the point of safety. And there's no other place where safety is a bigger concern than the pole vault and the high jump.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're going, when you're thinking about, 17, 18 foot up in
18,
the air?
19 foot, yeah.
Now. Colton Crum will get to 20 one day.
Oh, I hope so.
You know, what's another, he was on our E-Factor back a few months ago when he graduated from high school, of course, now at Notre Dame and on a pole vault scholarship.
He is.
It's an amazing, he's a new state record holder.
He's a record holder. His father came to us when he was young and was really into motocross, and he wanted to find something a little safer. So he bought a used pole vault mat off of us and put it in the backyard, and Colton never looked back. So it's been really amazing to watch him become a man on the pole vault.
Absolutely, and you guys have been a part of that, and we really think Colton's one of those guys that more than likely will end up in the Olympics, and probably will break records. He's that kind of mindset as well. Mm-hmm. Because he's always competing against himself, and I think that's kind of what you alluded to early on, that it's not about necessarily what everybody else is doing, but how are you doing it, and with honesty and integrity, and trying to do it to meet the customer's needs. Mm-hmm.
It's always nice to, throw out sales numbers or say, look what we did this year versus last year. But what's really fun for me is to say, how do I make Richie an even better company? I know we've got, the best warranty, or we've got some of the best design in the industry. How do I deal with customers? How do I make sure we talk to customers the best? How do I make sure that we talk to each other inside the company the best that we can possibly do? All those things that you hear about, people strive towards professionalism, or I get to do that for a living. I get to build the Richie machine alongside building the Richie product, which is kind of my passion.
Oh, absolutely. So let's continue on the product line. You got the pole vault material, the safety that you're talking about, the high jump and the pole vault. But you guys do it you put logos on their stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You guys get this down to the detail. It's not just about throwing some foam in a piece of plastic and shipping it away. You really make this thing special.
It's interesting how much and how little some people want to make things their own. So we'll deal with, the Michigan State Spartan helmet all over Michigan State stuff, and then sometimes colleges don't want anything. We do a lot of custom printing. I'm actually looking right now to buy a monster printer and hopefully upgrade the way we're doing things there. That's one of those things where everybody makes a mat that looks kind of the same. One of the ways that we differentiate ourselves, apart from quality and workmanship, is, hey, we can make it yours. We can make it fit your facility. We have custom colors of fabric made, where we'll order 1,000 yards of fabric. And you mentioned Notre Dame. Well, our Navy is custom matched to Notre Dame Navy. So the only Navy that Richie carries, we only carry it because Notre Dame bought from us and we had it made for them. So now we buy it all the time. But even, down to creating custom colors. I've got brown for Hershey High School in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
My goodness.
So I've got Hershey Kiss Brown, basically.
So it's chocolate brown.
Chocolate brown. That's what we offer, which we never offered until we decided to customize for them.
Wow. And that's a high school in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So now I'll go back a little bit, backtrack a little bit with Colton. That's an interesting story, because you just kind of added to the story, maybe even finished the story, that he started on one of your pole vault mats, a used mat that Gary came over, picked up, and put in his backyard.
Oh, yeah. Gary's bought a couple from
us, actually. I'm sure. I could see that. And so he puts in the backyard. Colton learns and then never looks back. But now you have made the Notre Dame pole vault pits that he's actually jumping on right now as a college freshman for the Fighting Irish.
Exactly. Notre Dame had been a customer of ours for 30 years.
Wow.
So
what we've done is built pits over and over and over for them. They move them around. They've got three or four outdoors. They've got one indoors. And when Gary came to me and said, hey, he's looking at school A, B, C, D, and Notre Dame. Notre Dame was the only customer on the list, so, of course, I pushed Notre Dame, right?
Sure.
But, yeah, Colton has just been – he's been so much fun to watch. He's always been at a school that's got our products, so we follow him closely. We've always tried to work with his dad, make sure he's got stuff in his hands. Of course, making sure we don't mess with any eligibility rules, making dad pay for everything, that kind of
stuff.
That's
right, that's right.
But, no, it's just been nice – I mean, we can't use his name or anything on any of our advertising, but it's been nice to be able to, when we talk to other coaches around, and they'll talk about they've got a kid at 14 feet, they've got a kid at 17 feet, like, oh, yeah, well, we've got Colton Crum right here in the backyard, and he's
pushing 18,
he's close
18,
to 18, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, you think about that. For you, did you ever pole vault?
I was really heavy.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up, Michael. So, you didn't have to say
I was about a buck 90 high school. They don't make a pole that big unless it's a monster pole.
No, but I will tell you, Michael was a tremendous linebacker for the Bulldogs.
I had a lot of fun playing football. Actually, track in college, I threw hammer.
Yeah.
So I was around it for a lot of years, and then I went off to school and was still around it there and kind of got an idea of, you know, I'd always gone over to Purdue or even up to Notre Dame with Max, but being around the track program and seeing how coaches are just as much managers as coaches and how they kind of run those things, I think really helped me get a feel for how to talk to those people on this side of the desk when I'm trying to sell them equipment.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, this time of the year, it's getting ready. We just got out of Thanksgiving, getting ready. We're in the Christmas season now, by the way. Merry Christmas. We've got which was our favorite time of the year. You know, everybody, you're kind of in the warm. But it's family. It's time. We talk about family. We think about family. You work with your family every day. You work with two brothers. So let's talk a little bit about family. And how do the family dynamics work in all this?
Well, family's a challenge because there's three brothers and none of us have ever been wrong about anything.
Surely not.
You know, I look at the company from a completely different perspective than my youngest brother, David. I came in when it was nothing, pretty much, down to, you know, I said I was the only employee. And I look at it from this long growth, and there's a lot of investment there. I'm a little more conservative in the way I do things because I know what it took to get here. David, from the other end of the spectrum, will come in and be really gung-ho and let's buy this equipment or let's buy a new semi or let's do these things. So it balances us out a lot.
Sure.
I would expect that if things were always done my way, we wouldn't be as big as we are, to tell you the truth. Apart from that, what we've been able to do is kind of split the company up into thirds and say, okay, Michael, you're going to take care of production, and Steven, you're going to take care of sales. And David, you're going to take care of everything after it's out the door. You take care of the logistics. And by splitting things up and keeping our own spheres, it's kind of created an opportunity for us to not fight about things. But managing family is going to be hard.
Yeah.
People like to pull that trump card where, I'm your brother. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It's a business.
It's a business. So we've got to figure out how to wear our business hat and wear our brother hat. But so far, we've been able to do that without too many fist fights. So.
Yeah. Well, and it looks like you don't have any bruises or
no scars
or anything like that. But, but I think that's a pretty solid plan. I mean, when you think about it, you almost have three businesses under one roof. You're kind of each one operating their own department with inside the Ritchie label.
And we actually spun off the logistics into another company. Let's keep the liability that the trucks carry with just the trucks. So David runs that, but he contact coaches, make sure things can get delivered, make sure delivery windows are viable. He's completely responsible for that other company. But at the same time, we all three sit on that board, and we all three are listed as managers of that company, and we all three make decisions. I can't think of a better way to do it, but we kind of make it up as we go along. I'm not going to lie about that.
I think that's the way that most of it happens. Michael, thinking of family being can be a challenge to orchestrate the day-to-day operations. What are some of the other challenges that you face in business? What's probably your biggest challenge? Maybe working in family is, but what's some of the biggest challenges you face?
Everybody's going to say this. I think employing people is difficult. Mm. There's a lot of people that have a lot of opinions on the way things should run. Employing people in general is
finding
difficult.
People.
Finding people is hard.
Yeah. We have the lowest unemployment rate in the state, and I hate to tell you that, but.
Oh, yeah, and it's down to 2.3. The last couple percentage points. Yeah. It's hard to get some of those people that really want to work.
Yep.
Being small, it's hard for us to offer the same things that the bigger companies offer. And then just, as I said, when I'm the only employee, I don't have to worry about me showing up late for work because I'm always going to be on time. And I don't have to worry about me messing around on my cell phone. All those things that we don't know how to police. Company culture is difficult when you go from two or three employees up to 25, right? How do you make sure culture works alongside? And a lot of times you get so wrapped up in what do I got to get done today so the truck can leave tomorrow, that those things, those bigger questions about how your world's going to turn, kind of get lost. So how do you put together a cell phone policy? How do you put together attendance policy?
Right. So the you bring up a good point when it comes to culture. You mentioned the difference between you, the oldest, and David, the youngest. Mm-hmm. Culture changes. What other cultural changes are you seeing in the workplace that you seem to have to address on a daily basis? You mentioned cell phone use. You mentioned maybe there's conduct. Maybe there's uniforms. And also you have moved up to 25 employees now. Mm-hmm. Golly, I remember when you were about five.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, we know you were the man, but I remember when there was only three of you.
it's one of those things where we started offering benefits. For example, offering health care. Well. Attendance becomes an issue all of a sudden. If you're not going to show up for enough hours, then how do I give you health care?
Yeah.
Mainly it's been attendance and the personal responsibility stuff, staying on task, making sure you're back on time from lunch, on time, those kinds of things. It's the small stuff, and it's those kind of things where you don't want to say anything. You just expect people to do the right thing, and then you kind of realize, hey, I'm in charge, and if I don't say anything, nobody will.
Well, because in a smaller family-owned business like yourself, you're also kind of the HR department. Who's got that?
My wife runs all the books, and I always tell the people on the floor, if you have an issue, you guys can have my office, and you go talk to Becky. And hopefully you guys can work it out before it gets to me.
And good luck, huh?
Right. She's tough cookie.
That's all right. You got to have those folks to make it work.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about this whole company and where it has come from, where it was, what do you think Max would be thinking right now?
Well, there's probably two things. He'd be super proud, and he'd tell everybody outside how great we're doing. And then when he's in the shop, he would still be telling me that I could be doing something different or something better. it would be one of those things. Max always knew how to do things a little bit better than you did.
Yeah.
But no, I think in general he'd be proud of where we ended up and where we're going. We're to the point now where survival is no longer the top priority. Mm-hmm. It's expansion. Mm-hmm. It's company culture. It's things like that. It used to be how do we make sure we eat tomorrow. That's not a thing. So I think he'd be really proud to see that transition. Yeah. And then Max was always a feather in your cap kind of guy. He'd be super excited about some of the names that we've landed, about a lot of the expansion, about the business on the West Coast. There's a time when Max thought you'd never sell a pit in Ohio because there's somebody over in Ohio that sells a lot of pits and we can't compete with them. I do probably 40% of my business in Ohio.
Wow.
So, we've been able to prove him wrong on some things. We've been able to expand a lot on some things and he did, before he passes. And this would be a $10 million a year business when you're done. And we're not there yet. So at least he gave us one more hurdle to get to.
Yeah, another goal.
But that's kind of what we're shooting for.
Absolutely. And when you think about the goals, it's important to have them. And you set a goal and you break it and you set it kind of like pole vaulting.
Oh, exactly. Find the next bar and try whatever it takes to get over it.
And you keep raising the bar, mm-hmm. and how important that truly is. and seeing not only your company grow and succeed, but you as families and as you as a community. You're really you're plugged into the community very much. You guys are mm-hmm. community-minded people. You grew up here in Clinton County.
I grew up here. My boys go to Clinton Central.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're super excited about some of the stuff they're doing out there. They've done a great job turning some things around. You know, I try to – I have membership the Y. I'm there. Mm-hmm. I see people all the time. I'm trying. There's not a whole lot of people my age who, if they've decided to go out and get a college education, you know, coming back, sometimes that doesn't happen.
Right.
We made a commitment to do that. So
yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we did.
And then you're also giving us more opportunity to bring those people back to work in a very strong culture in this place we call Ritchie Manufacturing.
And we try to run this thing like a startup, and we try to tell people, you know, you're in here on the ground floor. And if you're in here right now, you can help me build the company. You can help me build the culture. You can be a part of creating something and doing sports in general a service by building things correctly. I don't think you get that opportunity a lot of the other big places. I think you got to spend a lot of time as a small cog before you get up to the next spot. If I hire a salesman right now, he's going to take over 30% of my sales territory.
Mm.
He's going to be a big voice for Ritchie. And, you know, sales leads the company.
Sure.
They're the face of the company. That person, he or she, will have the opportunity to do something, I think, special in Frankfort that is harder to do just because you don't have that opportunity at a big company right when you first walk in.
Right, right. So let's talk about opportunities here. You've got availability right now. You're always looking to hire people, seems like.
I'm looking for anybody who's willing to work and show up on time and keep their phone in their pocket, that kind of thing.
I get it.
We're looking for a sales rep right now, somebody that can come in and help me get my name out there more than it is. But I've also got other issues where, hey, maybe my website's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, maybe we've got to figure out how to talk between sales and production better, and I need somebody to facilitate that. Or I need somebody to set up. We're trying to put in some CRM software, which is client resource management. We don't know how that looks. We don't know how that works. We need somebody that can come in and take a look at that stuff and say, oh, maybe I did that before, or, oh, I can help you with that. I'm willing to become an expert in it, even if I'm not. I'm looking for those kinds of people who are highly motivated. Maybe not an engineer who's got an engineering degree who wants to come in and engineer a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
I just need somebody that wants to come in and be excited about being here and say, hey, I'm going to build myself while I'm here.
When we get off the air, I will give you a name of a guy who's in our co-working space. Jim Stitzel with Dragonspire Media is doing fantastic work with consulting on computer stuff. I mean, software, he builds it, and he's done a great job working with us, and he has his own business. But I'll give you that contact information. But the co-working space has been – that's kind of been a dream of ours, is trying to network these people together to get – because he's got a dream, you know, and if he can connect with people that have a dream and how he can make them – their dream come true by making his dream come true and helping them. And I think that's all. That's what you're trying to say. Even with this business, you're giving people opportunity to grow in this culture that they can help be part of making it their own.
Right.
And that is so important. I think you've hit it right on the head, Michael. I mean, I think you guys have got it down, and I applaud you. I mean, I go back a couple 3 years ago where you guys were standing on the stage at one of the top 10 businesses to watch list, and I think we're the top 20 businesses to watch in Indiana, and we have a lot of people that have been watching you, and we are so proud of you here in Clinton County. We can't tell you how proud we are. I mean, you've gone from being out there in Michigan Town to going out here and the old Thrifty facility, and now you purchased the old Gill Construction facility, and now you got both of them, and you're moving and grooving, and the sky's the limit.
That's what we plan anyway.
And you keep raising the bar.
Yes, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, make sure you tell your brother David and Stephen I said hi. I had the opportunity of being part of the coaching staff many years ago there at Clinton Central. I watched you, and now we Coach Gilbert and I talked many times about how there was no doubt in our mind that the Griffey boys would be very successful at whatever they did.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Shane.
No problem. Michael, thank you very much for being on the program today at E-Factor.
My pleasure.
All right. Michael Griffey with Ritchie Manufacturing. Let me tell you something, folks. Make sure you call. What's your phone number, by the way, Ritchie?
1-800.
Or Michael?
1-800-333-7400.
1-800-387-8787.
And website?
RitchieAthletics.com.
RitchieAthletics.com. If you want to, maybe a new career, maybe if you want to just talk to them. He's got a great story. This is an awesome story. If you ever have a chance to just sit down and talk with the Griffey boys, you will be blessed. Well, that wraps it up for another E-Factor. And we hope that you join us next time. And remember, you might be the hope. You might be the answered prayer in someone's life. You might be the engagement, the empowerment, something that someone else is looking for. You never know. Just go out there and make it a great day. Be you. Be who you are. Have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.